Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible here in the sixth chapter of Judges, and there are 40 verses in this chapter. And let's ask the Lord to not heal, because he's already provided healing. We have to have the faith, the understanding of what the Lord wants us to do in order for us to be able to receive healing. But let's pray for him to let the words of this chapter sink deeply into our spiritual ears and into our inner man, the inner man, to make us strong enough to last another day, to stand another day in the spirit. I'm quite ahead of you people in regarding the Bible. I just finished chapter 11 in the book of 2 Samuel. People need to keep their mind stayed upon the Lord, because this particular chapter in 2 Samuel talks about the psalmist David, who instead of leading his armies out on the battlefield, he stayed at home and was lounging around and taking a nap one afternoon, went out for a walk on his on the roof and looked down and saw this woman taking a bath, and instead of being with his army, instead of leading them into victory, instead of turning his eyes away from any kind of lust whatsoever, he looked. And on top of that, then he went and sent for her, and then he committed adultery, and then he sinned, and then he had the husband come into off the battlefield so he could spend the night with his wife and make it look after Bathsheba found out that she was pregnant. He wanted to bring the husband in and have him spend the night with her so he could say that it was his baby. But Bathsheba knew it wasn't his baby. He was out on the front lines fighting, and she knew it was David's baby. She sent a messenger to him to let him know that she was pregnant. And so David, on top of that, was going to have her lie and say, "Oh, the baby in me is yours, Uriah." So he was really teaching people to lie and teaching people all kinds of things, this man that had fallen into. And no wonder his crown had been taken away from him. What I'm asking for everyone to do now is to pray that the Lord will anoint the words of chapter 6 of Judges, we're not in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, and that he'll open your spiritual ears in the inner man so to receive this. But it's always good for me to, for anyone, to hear the reproof of the word of the Lord in the event that you're getting shaky and you're starting to look at the things out in the world or anything around you that you're not supposed to be looking at. All right? And the Bible plainly states that men have several wives, but it never says that a woman has several husbands or two husbands. That is a definite no-no. All right? You understand that, right?
Yeah.
You see that in the Bible all the time. And this particular chapter is about Gideon, who had many wives. He had
70 sons.
And he was considered a very high-rated man in the Lord. Very honored man of God. So, Father, we ask that you anoint the reading of this word, any testimonies, and if you'll have me expound, Lord. I know that I've done some commentary on it already. Anoint that and let it be for the edification of every member of your body, the church. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, healing is already provided for us. All the things that God has given us, salvation, healing, victory, prosperity, all these things. A lot of people wonder why they don't have healing, why they don't feel like they're saved. It's because we've all been given the same amount of faith. The only thing is a lot of people don't continue reading the Word to pick up the understanding so that they understand that the that they have the faith. People have it, but they don't really believe that they have it. And therefore, they don't use the faith. And so, let's get into the reading of this chapter 6, because we've got 40 whole verses here, and quite a bit of commentary. Okay, go ahead.
First, regarding Gideon.
Yes, I want to have you read that, what I've just done on Gideon. I did this chapter several months ago, but now I've just done a little bit more on it here. So go ahead.
Gideon had been told by his ancestors that the Lord was all-powerful and faithful to his people.
Right, to those people when they keep his commandments. And that's why God called him, is because the people were not keeping his commandments, and a lot of them were in trouble. They were now subjects of this heathen group. Okay, then what else?
Yet his faith was for sure bolstered by God's promise to be with him as he fought the enemies of Israel. The Lord said, quote, "You will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man," unquote, Judges 6:16.
That's something, you know, we will destroy the one world government, the entire population of the earth, satanic people, as though we were fighting just one man. That's God's promise. And, you know, I don't want to lose his promises, so therefore, I'm going to keep my mind stayed upon the Lord. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you can let your mind wander on trivia like so many people in this world do. But as for me, I'm going to keep my mind on the Lord. All right? Because
yes.
That's where the victory comes. And all the promises of the Lord only depend upon one thing, is that you keep all of his commandments. Then will you have salvation. Because salvation is not guaranteed, with the exception of if you continue doing everything he says to the end. That's when you're really saved. The Bible says, you know, continue to the end. Ye shall be saved if you continue to the end of your life. All right? So don't think, and so many people say that, well, David was God's favorite and he sinned and so we can too. Well, I want to remind you that David did not have the grace or the power of God living in him. With Moses, the law came, but with Jesus, grace and truth came. That means that power inside your body, the Spirit of God's power in your body lives in you. David didn't have that to be able to stand. And so don't compare yourself with any Old Testament person at all. First of all, you're not a pimple on David's nose, all right? But still, if you've got the power of God in you, then you are able to stand. There's no excuse for falling away. And you may, you know, the devil may sell you a bill of goods because you'll see one person after the other falling away. But that will not hold, that will not help you at the judgment bar of God, because you're going to stand there by yourself. You're going to be alone and naked. And so you've got to continue keeping the commandments of the Lord, and power and truth came with Christ. That's the truth, is that if you sin after having been saved, if you don't continue on to the end in his power, what does it mean, continue on? Continue on following him. He says, come and follow me. That doesn't mean that you can have a career out in the world in the motion picture industry and then also come to church at night and be in the church. That's not giving your whole heart to the Lord at all. You can't love, have any part of this world and the Lord. Why? Because he said he wants all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And he says, come and follow me. Did you ever see Jesus writing a movie script?
No.
Or a play, acting in a play?
No.
Or any of the apostles, disciples, or any of the prophets? Or did you see them aspiring to be in motion pictures or to play in a secular orchestra or band?
No.
No. He says, follow me. That means none of that kind of foolishness. And he says, get into the church. You cannot serve me and mammon, money. So either choose the world or me. He says you can't have both. There's a person in the church that's attempting to do that, and I want him to know. It's not for, you know, that I'm trying to make him feel bad. It's just you have to get in or get out. Shape up or ship out. You're living in the last days. There's no time to be involved with any secular business whatsoever. Get in. And so you can love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't be ambitious to be a movie actor or anything like that. I've been asked to be in so many movies I can't even remember them all. And especially after I've been saved, it was just not so long ago that they asked to do a TV motion picture on me, and they offered me $1 million, and it was offered by an attorney, and you were right there when they offered it.
Yes, I was.
Yes. And I turned and I told them, absolutely not. I'm in the ministry, okay? Mm-hmm. Some people, they just want to be some kind of a star or have their name out there. They've already done 3 movies on me without any permission. They did one, the gospel singer with Johnny Cash, who was supposed to be me. And several other, 2 other movies that we know of. And they were derogatory and not at all what Sue and I are or were. Or will ever be. Okay, then go ahead, let's go.
Today we imagine sometimes that God merely assists us in our struggles. That's the problem. Too many people imagine that God is going to assist them when they, of course, are living lives partially. They go to services, and they serve God partially. If you're serving God partially, you're not serving Him at all, because the testimony isn't there, and also the promise of God is not with you.
No, because the testimony is that you don't have anything to do with the world. Just like Jesus, He said, follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. So how can you be partially serving the Lord? What if Jesus partially did what He was supposed to? Then we wouldn't ever be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody admires anybody that is partial. Do you?
No.
It's like having partial teeth in your head. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you can't chew gum anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Or juju bees. I don't like anything partial. All right? What else?
For instance, there's a man in services in Los Angeles that needs to be told that he cannot write movie scripts, especially secular movie scripts, or go on secular recording sessions, and then expect to be blessed by the Lord. The Lord wants all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, and all of our strength.
What I'm talking about, bless you, I'm talking about healing, prosperity, victory over every obstacle in this whole world that will come against you, and to retain your salvation. All right, then what?
God doesn't just assist us in our struggles. Too many people that aren't really serving the Lord expect Him to assist them somewhat, but the Lord doesn't even assist people at all after they have heard what they must do, and then they don't do it. They fail to grasp that the Lord actually fights our battles for us if, and I mean only if, we give all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to Him. This makes us able to overcome formidable odds. Worshipping the Lord means that we give all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength to the Lord. This is what it means to worship God, who, in the words of Isaac, shelters us and provides a sure defense for us. That's only if we keep the Lord's commandments.
Yeah, a sure defense. Now look at these people in Indonesia. Do they have a sure defense?
No.
No, what they were doing was taking Indian baths, and a lot of them worshipped Buddha and Muhammad. And then people are so concerned, God's promised that He's going to kill them. And He's going to, actually, that's a mild situation that happened in this world in comparison of that which is to come. That is a Sunday school picnic that happened over in India and Africa and Indonesia, over 1,000 miles of beachfront, as to what's coming. That's just a sneak preview of coming attractions. The Lord is literally going to kill 1/3 of the people on the face of this earth. And, of course, because of the fact that there's not enough witnesses out in the world, there's too many people that are wanting to be in movies, and also they go to church and think they're serving the Lord, or they want to write a movie script, and they want to give their talents, they want to hire out into secular recording sessions and things like that, or a multitude of maybe thousands of other things. And they expect that God is going to defend them and to warn them to get out of an area like that. But God's going to destroy 1/3 of all the people in the world at one swat. And they're going to say, well, it's Mother Nature, just like they're saying now. Or that's nature's wrath. No, it is not nature's wrath. It is the wrath of God that he promises to all those that are in other religions. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father. No man can enter the kingdom of heaven. All religions are false. Only I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No man comes into heaven or can go up to God but through me. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me, but by me. So me, when Jesus says me, he means the Word of God. Anything other than the Word of God is false. Muhammad lived and he died. He's dead right now. Buddha, he's dead. Amen?
Amen.
Mary Baker Eddy is dead. All these false religions... Muhammad is dead, and he's not coming back. He's just coming up for judgment. Jesus died, and then he rose from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
So he's the one that I'm going to follow. He was dead, and now he's alive once and for all. He died once and for all for everybody, and now he's alive forevermore. He's not going to die again. And I'll serve the one that lives. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
And you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't work in the secular world and then expect God to bless you and come up to services and get into services and believe that you're serving God because you read the Bible. He wants all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from...
Yeah, when I say our, that means those of us that do everything that the Lord says. To us, he's our help, but not to those that are partially serving him. Read that again.
Oh God, our help...
Our help. Our, that means us that's serving him, 100%. Then what?
In ages past.
Yeah, in ages past and in present times. Okay, then what?
Our hope for years to come.
Yes, for those of us who do everything that you say and that continue on in your word. In other words, not reading it only, but doing it. James the Apostle, who is Jesus' brother, half-brother, stated that I'll show you my faith by the work that I do, not just that I read. But because a person that just says, be thou doers of the word rather than just hearers. Hear what he has to say and then do it. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite. Then what?
Our shelter from the stormy blast, such as the one that just happened in Indonesia, that so far they have found over 24,000 bodies, and there are tens of thousands still missing, and it's not going to get any better. That's a small catastrophe in comparison to what is to come. Some people feel that because they live not on seashores, that they live inland, that these things cannot happen to them. The Lord can take the soul, the spirit, right out of your body. If we want for the Lord to be our eternal home, then we must let him live in us as his home here on earth. And it's for sure that the Lord is not allowing us to be in the movies or to be into out-and-out secular music or to hire out for it. I've been asked to be in well over 100 movies, hundreds of them. And just recently, HBO asked if they give me $1 million if they could do my life story. I told them, no, I'm in the ministry. I'm not letting HBO influence me to do anything like that.
HBO or anybody else? Okay, then what else?
I have a Beatles album. I've never sold it. Never will. And why? Because under the shadow of God's throne, his saints have dwelt securely. Sufficient is thine arm above, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. O God, our God, to bring us through every battle, to help us in ages past.
Yeah, that's us that take up our cross and don't look back and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Lot's wife used to be a woman, and then she became a pillar of salt. She wasn't the same anymore. Amen?
Amen.
She wasn't the same as she was. And nor because she didn't follow the Lord. She turned into a worthless heap of salt. Then what else?
O God, our God, to bring us through every battle, to help us in ages past, and our light to this very day, our hope for years to come, and all your promises belong
to... And only us, those of us that do take up the cross, deny ourselves, and follow the Lord. Now, Christmas is never mentioned in the Bible to buy presents and to make greedy merchants wealthy for each other, just because of the fact that the wise men brought some treasures to the Lord. That was the Lord. People that don't serve the Lord don't deserve presents. Amen?
Amen.
And it's become a heathen holiday where everybody eats a bunch of garbage and buys a bunch of garbage to give to each other. Okay? But the Lord wants people that serve him, not to have these worthless holidays. It's good if you're really a Christian, you remember the Lord reverently and with fear and trembling every day, not just one day out of the year like all the heathen do. Okay, then what? And they don't really remember him. It's a day of drunken revelry and paganism. All right, what else?
All your promises belong to us in years to come. It's for sure you will be our guide. Thy life shall last, and our eternal home, our eternal God forevermore. This has to do, I would say, very much with the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. Chapter 6, verse 1 states that, quote, again, the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight.
Right, and so therefore, God was going to curse them just like he cursed the people in Indonesia. And these were his chosen people. And the people of Indonesia are not. Okay, so what do they expect? And then they're going to criticize me and want to probably stone me to death because I'm telling them the truth. Okay, a lot of people despise the two witnesses that tell everybody the truth, to the point to where they'll be put to death. But 3 days later, what's going to happen? Their dead, lifeless bodies are going to raise up. God up in the kingdom of heaven is going to go, he's going to blow the breath of life, his life, back into them. They're going to stand on their feet, and then all of a sudden, they're not just going to stand up, they're just going to continue going up in a cloud up into the kingdom of heaven, and everybody's all these people in this world are going to be terrified, because then they're going to realize that the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ is true, and that the things that these two prophets were saying, just the same kind of, just exactly what I'm telling you right now, was the truth. And though they didn't like it because their flesh is so contaminated with the lusts of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that they're going to be terrified. And there's going to be a big earthquake, just as there was when Jesus was crucified on the cross. And then the people of the world, every television camera, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and all these different networks, their cameras are going to be trained on those two dead bodies, and they're going to be trained when they raise up again unto life and ascend into the kingdom of heaven. Then the world is going to know. And then the world is going to... all salvation is going to be cut off from the world just shortly after that. And there will not be any more salvation available for anybody. And it's getting to that point right now where hardly anybody really, really, really serves the Lord the way that it's written in His Word. And if it isn't done according to the actual writing in His Word, it is absolutely meaningless. See, you're considered to be a hypocrite. Okay, then what?
And do I go right into the scriptures here?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was what I said there. Okay, go into the King James and then follow up over there.
Okay.
Okay.
Gideon becomes Israel's judge. King James Version, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. Verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them.
Okay, now read the... my version.
Okay. Translation, verse 1 through 3. Gideon becomes Israel's judge. Again the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Verse 2. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites fled to the mountains, where they made hiding places for themselves in caves and dens.
You understand that better?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Verse 3, whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel.
Right, because they were not keeping the commandments of the Lord. It's just like when the people of this church were paying no attention to what I was telling them. God let the federal government come in and take everything, all their houses, and threw them out on the street. And they were doing every ungodly thing that you could possibly do. They threw them out on the street, and all the properties were sold for 10 cents on the dollar. And less than that, even a penny on the dollar. Okay? So it's happened to you, and you know that God lets that happen. And a lot of the people thought, well, they left the church because they said, well, what good is it to stay at the church when, or to buy more property or to do anything? This is several years ago, and we have got more property, and it's better property now. They said because the government's just going to come and take it again. The government can't do anything like that if you're serving the Lord. But some of you people don't believe that, and so some of you people are going to wind up in boxes. You're going to get boxed up, just like all other corpses. So you have to, you know, get revived here and begin carrying the cross and denying yourself and doing what the Lord says and have faith in Him rather than the federal government. All right? Because the federal government has already been condemned. The Bible says that the Lord is going to destroy him, and it's going to be in a more magnificent way that He just destroyed a lot of the people of Indonesia, Africa, India, and other islands out there in the Indian Sea, right? I think it's the Indian Sea, right? India? Hmm? What? Is that it? The Indian Ocean, yeah.
Okay, save the sea, ocean. All right, what else?
King James Version, verse 4. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Verse 5. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord.
Right, and the people of this church were greatly impoverished. They had the best property going. In this whole area, it was overlooking the Arkansas River. They had beautiful homes, everything, and every one of those things were taken away from them because they didn't believe that the Bible was true. All right, then what?
Verse 7, And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, verse 8, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage.
In other words, I blessed you. I took you out of the hands of the people that were beating you and killing your sons, all right, and were destroying you in every way. Then what?
Verse 9, And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land.
And who oppresses people today but the one world government, the United Nations, the Antichrist government? That's who's doing it today, and God can will turn those of you who do not follow him, the whole bunch of us, he would turn over to them if we don't continue in the faith. All right? Then what? Faith means faith in the word that says, he says, for you to take up, deny yourself. Take up the cross. Don't look to the left or the right, but follow me. Okay? And go and sin no more. And give no place to the devil. Don't even let the devil have any of your mind. Because the battlefield is in your, is your mind. Your soul can be saved. The Spirit of the Lord can be inside your body. But unless your mind is protected, unless your mind is united with your spirit and the Spirit of God, Satan will mop you up every day of your life. You must unite God's Spirit to your mind and to your spirit. And your mind and spirit must be 100% sold out to the Lord. So you have to protect your mind and your soul. Because that's why the Lord says put on the whole armor of God through Paul. And that's why it says give no place to the devil. Because the devil's looking who he made. He could if you let him devour you. That's the only way that Satan can get you. And God, if God is with you, if you're keeping his commandments, God is with you. And if he be with you, then who can be against you? I hear all these ministers saying, well, God is with you, God loves you. He's just saying it to thousands of people that are not at all serving the Lord. And they forget to tell you all the little details in between that are very big details, very important details, that you must keep all the commandments. You must walk in the Spirit. The actual Spirit, the grace, the power of God must be living in you. The Spirit of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit have to be dwelling in you in order for you to have the power to be able to do everything that God says. And if you don't seek that Spirit every day, it's impossible to stand. You, without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. Then what?
Verse 10, And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice.
Is that that? That was verse 10?
Yeah.
Okay, now commentary. I mean,
translation.
Translation, yeah.
Translation, verse 4 through 10. camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, oxen, and donkeys. Verse 5.
They just clean you out, the government. But they dasn't do that if you're keeping the commandments of the Lord, you understand? Amen?
Amen.
They just dasn't do it. I'm using old English. Dasn't. Mm-hmm. They daren't do it. Okay? Then what?
These enemy hordes, coming with their cattle and tents as thick as locusts, arrived in droves of camels, too numerous to count. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. Verse 6. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Verse 7. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, quote, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt, verse 9, and rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. Verse 10, I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live, but you have not listened to me." King James Version, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor."
So the Lord is calling this Gideon the mighty man of valor. All right, then what?
Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Verse 15. And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Verse 17. And he said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me."
In other words, if I have found power in your sight, if this really, this power that you've given me in your, is in your sight, show me something. Prove it to me. Because I want to have confidence when I go into battle. I'm going to destroy all these people as though I was fighting one man. Well, one of us will chase 1,000. Two of us 10,000. Amen?
Amen.
Three of us 10 times that is 100,000. Four of us is 1,000,000. Amen?
Amen.
And five of us is 10 million, and six of us is 100 million, and seven of us is 1,000,000,000, and eight of us is 10 billion, and there's not even that many people on earth. Amen?
Amen.
The whole amount of people that have ever lived on this earth is 30 billion people. Since the beginning of time, since Adam. That's about the approximate amount of people that have been here on this earth. 30 billion. And there's only about 6 billion now. And the people are worried about there's going to be too much population on this earth. God will take care of it. One third, one day alone, just one third of the people will be destroyed. So the government doesn't need to try to control population growth. Be fruitful and multiply. Don't listen to the government. Do as I say, because I'm telling you what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
That means I've got a greater voice than all the government put together. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because I'm telling you what God said. Amen. And God told me to tell you. All right, then what else?
Verse 18. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Verse 19. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it.
Sounds delicious. I'd love to have some myself right now. Okay, then what?
Verse 20. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Verse 21. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes.
Then this was to prove that this is really God talking to him and giving him the encouragement to go into battle, and that he would win as though he were just fighting one man. Okay, then what?
Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Translation, verse 11 through 21. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the oak tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, had been threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you! Exclamation mark. Verse 13. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt?
He's calling Gideon a polygamist, mighty hero. Look, if you're going to believe the Bible, believe the whole Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Mighty hero. All right?
Yeah.
And Moses the same way, and also Psalmist David and Solomon and many others. All mighty heroes of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, quote, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel.
See, the Lord didn't even say, well, the reason I did it was because of the fact that they were not doing everything I said, and so on and so forth. And to explain to this man, amen, this mighty hero, he just says, do what I'm telling you. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 15, quote, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 16, the Lord said to him, quote, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man, unquote. Verse 17. Gideon replied, quote, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is true, and it really is the Lord speaking to me. Verse 18.
Well, that was something to burn up the meat and the soup. Amen?
Amen.
And the cakes and everything, right?
Right.
Probably left a scorch mark on the rock. Amen?
Amen.
In case he doubted, come back 2 hours later and still see the scorch mark, right?
Yeah.
All right, then what? I know that he lives because I can feel his presence within me. And he tells me what to preach or what to say. Okay, that's proof enough to me. He saw already burnt himself into my being. My mind, my heart, my spirit, my soul, every part of my being. It's a burn mark. Okay, then what? From the Lord.
Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you, unquote. The Lord answered, quote, I will stay here until you return, unquote. Verse 19. He then hurried home. He He cooked a young goat, and with half a bushel of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the oak tree. Verse 20. The angel of God said to him, quote, place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it, unquote. And Gideon did as he was told. Verse 21. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and bread with the staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. King James Version, verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Verse 26. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down.
So he makes a promise to Gideon, and then he tells him to do something that's going to stir up the folks really bad, to tear down their idols and their place of worship, and to do everything that he just told him to do. Amen?
Amen.
His dad is going to get angry with him. Okay? And a lot of people today, their theory is, don't make waves. Tony, you don't have to be going through all the trouble you're going through if you just shut your mouth. Well, you who say such things about me like that, you don't realize what trouble you're going to be in and that you're in right now for saying such things, because you're in trouble with God. I may be in trouble with the devil, but my God is bigger than the devil. Amen. And more, way more powerful. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night.
He wanted to sneak and do what the Lord told him. Yeah, don't hold any lanterns on. Then what?
Verse 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. Verse 29. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Verse 30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. Translation, verse 22 through 30. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, quote, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 23. It is all right, the Lord replied. Do not be afraid. You will not die. Verse 24. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it, quote, the Lord is peace, unquote. The altar remains in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. Verse 25. That night the Lord said to Gideon, quote, take the second best bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Put down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it.
He's really getting him into it. Amen?
Amen.
Now see, he's telling the Lord wants you to make waves. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to go out there into the world and start winning all these souls. It doesn't make any difference what religion they're in, to get them and bring them into the only way, truth and life, into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
No matter what kind of problems occur from it. Then what?
verse 26. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hill, laying the stone carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah poles you cut down, unquote. Verse 27. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. He knew what would happen if they found out he had done it. Verse 28. Early the next morning, as the people of the town began to stir, someone discovered that the altar of Baal had been knocked down and that the Asherah pole that was beside it was gone. In their place, a new altar had been built, and it had the remains of a sacrifice on it. Verse 29. The people said to each other, quote, "Who did this?" unquote. And after asking around and making a careful search, they learned that it was Gideon, the son of Joash. Verse 30, quote, "Bring out your son," unquote, they shouted to Joash. Quote, "He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole," unquote. King James Version, verse 31. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." Verse 32. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar." Verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Verse 35. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." Verse 37. "Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." Verse 38. And it was so, for he arose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." Verse 40. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Translation, verse 31 through 40. But Joash shouted to the mob, quote, "Why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning!" Exclamation mark. If Baal truly is a god, let him defend himself and destroy the one who knocked down his altar! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 32. From then on Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means "let Baal defend himself," because he knocked down Baal's altar. Verse 33. Soon afterward, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel and crossed the Jordan, camping in the valley of Jezreel. Verse 34. Then the Spirit of the Lord took possession of Gideon. He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. Verse 35. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, surrounding their warriors, and all of them responded. Verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, quote, "If you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised," verse 37, "prove it to me in this way. I will put some wool on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you are going to help me rescue Israel as you promised." Unquote. Verse 38, and it happened just that way. When Gideon got up the next morning, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out a whole bowl full of water. Verse 39, then Gideon said to God, quote, "Please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. This time let the fleece remain dry while the ground around it is wet with dew." Unquote. Verse 40, so that night God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew.
All right, that was Judges chapter 6, the 40 verses, and now we got some commentary.
6 verse 1 through 8 verse 32. The deliverance from the oppression of the Midianites by Gideon is described in these chapters. 6 verse 1. Midian. The Midianites were descendants of Midian, a son of Abraham, and Keturah, one of Abraham's wives. They were a nomadic people who lived east of the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. Israel's seven-year oppression was God's punishment for their idolatry. 6 verse 1 through 8 verse 35. Humility, leader traits. Gideon demonstrates seven traits of godly leadership. 1. Unwillingness to lead unless God calls. 6 verse 36 through 40. 2. Dependence on God at every turn. 7 verse 1 through 8.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people in the church that are very willing to try to lead when God hasn't called them to. They love to usurp authority, and so that is not a godly trait, it's a satanic trait. Amen?
Amen.
But one of the attributes of Gideon was that he never attempted to lead or to usurp authority until God, at all. He just waited until God told him to do something. Okay? And that's what I do also. All right, then what else?
3, willingness to turn faith into action. Chapter 6, verse 25 through 27. Chapter 7, verse 15 through 22. 4, willingness to use the gifts God had given him to lead others. He told the 300 who stuck with him to watch him and follow his example. Chapter 7, verse 17. 5, he gave God glory before and after his victory. Chapter 7, verse 15. Chapter 8, verse 3 through 23. 6, he humbly gave others credit that belonged to him. 8, verse 1 through 3. And 7, he refused to establish a dynasty after he had fulfilled God's charge. 8, verse 22 through 23. See Acts 26 verse 19 and chapter 13 verse 22. 6 verse 14. The Lord turned to him, the angel of the Lord now speaking to him as the Lord himself commissioned Gideon to deliver the people of Israel. 6 verse 19. The large amount of food. The ephah is over a bushel presented in Gideon's offering reflects either his wealth or a special sacrifice in his destitute time. 6 verse 21. Consumed the meat, bread. The consuming of the sacrifice fulfilled the sign Gideon had requested and indicated the acceptance of Gideon's offer. 6 verse 24. Quote, "The Lord is peace," unquote, is literally, quote, "Yahweh Shalom," unquote. Gideon's new sense of security in his relationship with the Lord is effectively expressed by the term shalom, meaning wholeness, security, well-being, prosperity, peace, and friendship. 6 verse 25. Gideon's first task as God's appointed deliverer was to remove the cause of Israel's idolatry by tearing down the altar of Baal and cutting down the wooden image, a cult object representing the Canaanite goddess Ashtaroth. 6 verse 34. the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. In Hebrew, this literally means, quote, the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon, unquote. See introduction to Judges, the Holy Spirit at work. 6 verse 36 through 40. Gideon did not request the sign of the fleece to determine God's will, but to gain dependent assurance. Through divine revelation, he already knew that he was appointed to deliver Israel. He wanted confirmation of the Lord's presence and power to establish him to accomplish the task. 6 verse 39 through 40. Fulfillment of Gideon's second request is more miraculous than the first. Normally, the wool fleece would have absorbed water more readily than the beaten earth of the threshing floor. To have dry on the fleece only with dew on all the ground indeed is supernatural. The Lord was patient with Gideon and provided the assurance that he needed. 6 verse 11 through 15. Gideon responded to the angel's message with little faith or hope. He was so used to the oppressing Midianites that he had little confidence that things could ever be any different unless he really had a complete confirmation from the Lord. Not only did Gideon view himself as weak and insignificant, he also viewed God not with distrust, but he wanted to make sure that God would make it clear to him that this is what God wanted him to do. This is a typical response of people who are trying to cope with terrible circumstances and those who don't really know for sure if it's right to do something or not. To know the Lord, stay in the Spirit with Him so that you can know for sure. Otherwise, you'll become so worn down by continuous pain or a loss of security or hope of ever breaking free. We are deeply aware of our helplessness, but this is the starting point for maturity. Gideon had admitted that he was helpless. Now he only needed to discover that God was really, truly talking to him so that he was sure that God would deliver him. 6 verse 22 through 40. Gideon's responses to God's alternated between faith and fear. It took courage to build the altars to God and to tear down the altar of Baal. He also blew the trumpet of assembly for those who would fight for God.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 6 of Judges, 40 verses in commentary. And we pray that you will continue for your own good, meditating upon the Lord day and night and praying always. And stay in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Until chapter 7 of Judges, God bless you and praise the Lord.